Epic Church Online. Let's eat.
We're in the midst of a six-week conversation, thinking about how our church, we're kind of rebooting our operating system. So much has changed. Who we are, pastors, moving to this place, that it's a chance to kind of think together about how to move forward as a church, learn to do things maybe a little differently and still kind of hold true to the things that we've always valued. And so this morning, our conversation about our three values, kind of what we feel how Jesus has revealed himself to us, embodying community, justice, and healing. This morning, we're going to talk some about justice. And we're going to have a conversation, lots of small groups time. You'll have plenty of time to mingle this morning. And one of the reasons that we are trying to have more of a conversational format about this as we think about rebooting, though it involves your talking, the other reason we're doing it is because listening is hard, isn't it? And it's not often, I think, that we are able to listen to one another and hear what is on our hearts, both collectively and individually. Listening to people, listening to life is hard. And when you're tired and busy, that makes listening even harder, doesn't it? If you didn't nod your head, you're lying to me. Because I know. It makes it hard. When you're tired and busy, it doesn't make for a great ability to sit and listen and really empathize with the person you're talking to. When you're tired and busy, it's really hard to be still and hear what the Holy Spirit is whispering to your soul. At least it's true for me. This sounds crazy, but it takes me like a couple days of doing nothing before I can actually sit down and pray for a long block and feel like, okay, Jesus is speaking to me again. And it's hard to find that kind of space, just emotionally, work-wise. So listening is hard. And in our conversations, we're trying to make a little space to listen with our ears and our hearts about what God could be saying to us as a church. Because there are a lot of voices in the world trying to tell us what God is saying to us as a church. I think it's because of the election season. But in the past month, I've received three letters. I have two letters here. There have been handwritten portions of them, written directly to our church or to me as the pastor of our church. I thought I'd share one with you. This one begins, "Warning to California, evacuate. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of the sorrows." That's Mark chapter 13, if you're interested. The letter continues, "Since the great 9.0 earthquake in Sendai, Japan occurred on March 11, 2011, many prophetic voices have joined together in addressing California. Their cries of evacuate and move to the upper Midwest can now be heard around the world." So at least, you know, location, location, location. "This will be the last warning to evacuate prior to the greatest earthquake in the history of the U.S. It will affect all of the West Coast. The entire world will be suddenly awakened to the awesome power and authority of the God of Israel. The Lord has been speaking to believers for over 7 decades to leave California. Those who continue to ignore his warnings will have no excuse when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Their lives will have ended prematurely, unable to complete the work he has given them to accomplish. Unbelievers who ignore these warnings will have no time to repent. As the ground opens up beneath them, they will be transported body and soul directly to hell." So that's the first half of this letter. The second half is an invitation that we have to listen to this, that we have to take a stand for what is right. The author of this letter is very concerned that something like the largest Planned Parenthood office in the United States is in California now. And as a city or as a state, the Christians would not repent. Prayer is not allowed in school, and we are teaching sex ed in our public schools. Therefore, listen to this prophet, repent, and move to the upper Midwest. That's the faithful response. And so this letter is inviting us to take a stand for what is right, and for a small donation they would be happy to share with our church. Because that's the real problem with our world, you see. They're Planned Parenthood in California, and they don't allow prayer in school. It's not the fact that governments are tearing families apart and putting children in cages. It's not the fact that 1% of the world owns 90% of everything. It's not the fact that people are treated differently, policed differently, afforded different opportunities according to the color of their skin. It's not the fact that the highest elected officials in our land have bragged about sexual assault. The real problem is teachers and their prayer-hating ways. Take notice, y'all, and move to the upper Midwest. And so this letter is imploring us to listen to them, to be just. The other letter I received was also from someone claiming to be a prophet. It was personally addressed, partially handwritten. And this earnest man wrote to tell us that people have been prophesying likewise for a long time. Turns out they also think there could be an earthquake in California, which, let's be honest, we have to agree that anybody who says there's going to be a big earthquake in California just doesn't count as a prophet, right? Is there anything that is less news than that? I predict there will, I mean, come on. But this person claimed that we need to lead to listen to them too. And their concern is very much the same, that our home state is overrun with immorality. And the immorality that this person is proclaiming seems to be the same kind of narrow religious list. And so they claim that Christians have lost just too many battles. In public education, students are no longer allowed to pray in school, and the Bible is not read by teachers anymore. Which, it's just kind of funny that everybody's blaming the teachers. They're very concerned that Merry Christmas has been replaced by Happy Holidays. That's a great evil. There are sanctuary cities. LA and San Francisco are tent cities. Gas prices have gone up. And that there are no Bible study groups in the White House. And so this person is very concerned and claims that we should listen to them and vote and act accordingly because they have received a prophetic word about our land. What scares me about these letters is if you listen to them closely, I think you start to understand what a lot of Christianity really values. And it's patriotism. There seems to be a lot of concern for things that I don't think we find in the Bible. It's an important question, really, I'll leave you with to ponder is, well, where does that stuff come from? These letters claiming to be prophetic, I think they say more about American Christian values than what God is saying. And it boggles my mind that people who claim to be prophets and understand the prophetic word coming say things that contradict what the prophets in Scripture said. And so just briefly to stimulate our conversation, our listening to one another, our listening to the Spirit of God, I want to read from you from Amos chapter 5. Would you stand please for the reading of Scripture? Amos was an Old Testament prophet who wrote, let's wrap his time up at around 750 BC, also right before a major earthquake. This is what the prophet Amos wrote in chapter 5. He wrote, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me, says the Lord. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. Many people recognize that quote when MLK used it in his letters. But Amos wrote it. Amos wrote it at a time when he was very critical about the religious nationalism that he lived in. He was very critical about the inequity in the society he lived in. So he's very concerned, and he heard God say that God is not pleased with this, and all the religious dressings and all the religious services and all the religious rituals. I even hate to call it ritual because I think that there was a sincerity about it. People wanted to do it. He wants nothing to do with as long as they persist in being unjust. God wants his justice to roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. And it's not just Amos, right? All of the prophets in the Old Testament, more than the faddish national morals of the day, the prophets cried out against oppression and the forces that stole life away from people, that crushed and oppressed. And there's a pretty clear list of issues, if you listen, that God has said he's really concerned about. Worshiping other idols, economic oppression, cheating and stealing, reviling the stranger. They critique blind devotion to the king, and especially they go after religious hypocrisy. The prophets lived as people well aware of the power of evil at work in the world. Evil that extinguished faith and life in Israel. They listened to God, and they saw where the battle lines really were drawn. They understood what they were up against, and they understood what God wanted them to talk about. What's going on around you? When you think about your daily life and the world around you, what are the problems that you see? Do you hear God calling you to address the issues in the world around you? Do you confront evil and injustice in your daily life? Where do you see it? I think as a church, one of the things as we listen to the Holy Spirit and what the heart of God is through scripture, through conversation, through prayer. I think some of what's supposed to happen in our own maturation is that our ability to see injustice becomes more acute so that we can minister love and healing in those areas. What's going on around you? Maybe you don't feel like you experience it directly. That could be true. But perhaps you see injustice in the world at work in your coworkers, in your students. Maybe you see what your clients face. What is it that you see? Maybe you've noticed that the women in your organization are passed over for executive positions. Maybe you know people who struggle just to get by month to month. These are the kinds of things that we have to listen for in the world around us. And so just to help us listen, I'm going to ask that you would find somebody that you're not in house church with, and let's get into groups of three or four and share a little bit about this question. We're going to have a conversation. We're going to conversate. What injustice are you confronted with in your daily life? What do you see out there at work? It's a chance just to listen to your own experience in the world. So everybody stand up if you would, please. It's terrible. It's like a high school mixer in here. And I'm going to ask that you stand up and like go to a different, everybody has to go to a different pew if you're able to. If you can't, introduce yourself in groups of two or three and talk about this question for a few minutes. It's like a forced mingle. Well, let's come back together. These things that you're talking about, you can stay where you're seated because I'm going to make you talk again. Long, trying to sneak out. We're small enough. I'm taking liberties with the informality. These things that you guys are talking about that we're sharing with one another are really important. They really are. God has called us to shine light, the truth of his love, into those things that we see, into those forces and the evil that we see in the world. And I think one of the things that's made Epic really an exciting place over the years is that we have been willing to listen and to talk about things and make space for these kinds of conversations. Talk and engage over things that really affect people's lives. And I love that we have been the kind of church, I think over the years, we've kind of been like a little church laboratory. And we'll try anything once. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a great idea. We'll try anything once. And to see if it bears fruit, if we feel like God may be saying to pay attention somewhere. And that's so important. Like, I don't ever want to lose that creativity, that receptivity to new stories and ideas. I want us to continue to grow and learn how to be faithful with the things that God is revealing to us, the things that God points out, what we learn about the world around us. I think there's always that question of, so what do we do next? And that's a good question. Sometimes it's an impossible question because the answer is fix the world, right? Well, where isn't that Jesus' job? Yes, but we're going to help him. So where do we start? It's an overwhelming question, even knowing where to begin with some of the things I'm sure that you've just shared about. And I also know that at this time of the year and everything, it's been a long year and we're all tired. I mean, I can see it on Sunday mornings. It's such a relief just to talk and do fun stuff together, you know? You can kind of be over-intensed in a calendar year. And so I recognize that we are tired, and you can't do everything in the world. So what should we do? Well, the first thing I would say is I think we need to rest. Rest is a justice issue. Rest is not afforded to many people. But I did want to leave you with four questions I think we need to talk about as a church for our immediate future in 2019. And so here at least are some beginning discussions as we move forward that I've heard us ask, that we have asked as a church that I think we're going to need to discuss further in 2019. Four questions about justice for Epic in 2019. The first question is this: how will we honor our Asian American heritage as a church? Epic's a historically Asian American church, and with Reverend Doy's departure and me being up here, it just changes things. It changes things because you walk into a church and you see this big, ugly bucket white head up front, and it communicates something different. And so we have to think about what we're going to do about that. How to have a different representation up front. I'm not the only one who has a relationship with Jesus and important things to say, by a long shot. But it's more than just that kind of representation. I think that we need to think about how to deepen our conversations about race and ethnicity in general. There are great depths to explore here, and we really have made a go and have tried it in different ways. What will it look like for us now? How do we continue that conversation? How do we continue to learn to love like Jesus in offering power and position to other people? How do we help people value deeply the way that God has created them? How do we take seriously the racialized environment we all live in? How that affects things like the way we interpret Scripture? And so that's the first question we have to, I think we'll need to address at some level. How do we honor our Asian American heritage as a church and bless it and encourage it and stay true? The second question I think we're going to have to address in the coming year is this. What kind of connection will we as a church have to the city around us? As a church, we have tried to make good on this conviction that you love a place more than just a demographic. I mean, we have a footprint here. We meet here. And so we have wanted to be a grounded church that's embodied in a place. And over the years, we have participated with Solidarity in Town and their beautiful ministries in the underserved parts of Fullerton. Really, Kevin and Epic birthed Hoya Scholars. But what will our involvement in the city look like now? How and where shall we participate in loving the city that God has put our church in? How do we get involved in what's happening in Fullerton? There's a lot happening. From what Solidarity is doing to the amazing fights over homeless shelters and what to do with the homeless in Fullerton. And there's just people to be loved. Some of you are even some of those people. But we have this question I think we're going to need to discuss further of what kind of connection, how will we love in Fullerton? How will we be missional here? Third question. I think we're going to have to consider some more how we will continue our conversations about LGBTQ issues. We've been on this journey for a while, started 3 years ago, but this past year, there's a lot that's been put on hold. And there's discussions and conversations that we have, and I think we have to think about how to open up more space to engage again, how to advocate for people who are denied care and love because of it. And so we need to think about how to make new spaces to discuss this as a church. Put it back on the radar again. That's important to say because we were doing a lot and then 2018 happened and there's been a lot of things that we have not been able to get to in 1 year. I think that question is also important. One of the reasons we're here at First Lutheran is because as an affirming church, we were one of the few churches that ever spoke with them that they felt like they could trust. They have a number of LGBT people in their church. They were not willing to have just anybody come in. So there's a trust there. Things to explore. The last question I think we will need to examine of the most immediate justice questions is this, speaking of First Lutheran. What role will ministry to homeless people, the homeless and the underserved, play in our church life? Next door, they are going to feed 300 families for Thanksgiving. And you guys all know, right, that First Lutheran has at minimum 3 full meals during the week where they feed the homeless folks. And I want you to know that when we moved in here and I talked to Pastor Greg, he said, we would love for you guys to add a day or take over a day of feeding Fullerton. And I told him up front, thank you. I am sure we would love to get involved some way. I don't want to talk about that for a whole year. Like, we just, you know what I mean? Like, the tank is empty, the car, we're hoping to coast into the up the driveway. So we value it, it's wonderful, but we'll talk about it in 2020. Now, I don't know if we have to wait till then. And some people have already been serving with them alongside of them. But it's a question for us to answer. Do we want to, and how do we want to participate in feeding the city in ministering specifically to the homeless population because it's such a big deal. There is a debate, right? Jesus calls us to feed those who are hungry, and First Lutheran takes that seriously. There are churches in town who are upset about that because it doesn't solve the problem. They worry it perpetuates it. So I think as a church, we need to have a discussion about what we think and how we would like to be involved in obeying Christ's call to feed the hungry. So those, I think, are some of the most immediate questions that we face as a church when we think about this issue of justice. And I'm sure that you have questions, that there are issues that you would like to address as a church, that there are things on your heart. And so this is a chance in your small groups again to talk for a couple minutes. What questions do you have? Are there things that you would like to see us involved in as a church? Are there ways that you would hope that our church would fight for what's right, to spread love and justice? Maybe it's one of those four questions. Maybe there's something else that's been weighing on your heart. But what are the forces of darkness and injustice in the world around you you feel like God would have us tackle? It's a big question. You don't have to have a settled answer, but perhaps there are things that you feel like somebody should do something about this. Take a minute in your small group and share and listen to one another, and we'll come back. Deliverance session? No, it's true. I did too. I get up here and I'm like. Well, let's gather back. The hour is short. The budget meeting awaits. I hope that it is encouraging and stimulating to talk to one another, to listen to one another and what you hear. I hope, too, that you will pray some more about some of the things that have been shared today. Write them down. One of the things we're trying to do as a church is to pray and read scripture and reflect 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week. It was a 6-week encouragement towards commitment. Because we want to come back in a few weeks now and pray and meet and share what are those themes, what are those things that God has put on our hearts in a prayer meeting. And so it's important to hold the things that you have said, your own convictions, and the things that people have shared with you in your heart, and to pray about them. Amen. The series is working perfectly. It's really lining up. Next week, we will talk about our value for healing and ways I think we need to reboot some of our value for healing. It'll be perfect after you've had holiday time with your broader family. Just seems kind of appropriate. But for now, it's just good to be here together as a family of God. I would invite you, we're going to worship now. We're going to gather and praise the Lord to come and take communion and realize while the questions are larger than we can figure out on our own, the answer is sure. It is Jesus Christ, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us. So I invite you to worship and to come and take communion, to take part in Jesus as we do every week. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the things that you have shown us as a church. We thank you for all of the different ways you have put a prophetic seed in us as a church and a willingness at the very least to talk about these issues. We pray that you would nurture what you've begun, that you would water it, and that that would grow and bear fruit in us. God, we want to be people who live and cultivate your kingdom. We want justice to roll down. We want to be able to celebrate and work towards your good for all peoples. And so we just bring who we are and what we have and ask that you would take it and use it to bring just a little more of your kingdom and justice into this place. Thank you that we're able to be together and worship you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Until next week.
For more discussions of God's Word like these, go to www.epicchurch.net.